Sprint cars, super late models, thunder cars, modifieds, World of Outlaws, Arkham. It's all here. Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt. On races, fame, short tracks. All the way to the high banked oval. This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now,
your host, live from the Racetime Radio studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Well, there we go. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Racetime Radio, our weekly two-hour get-together tonight live from the Racetime Radio studio and, of course, on Sirius XM Channel 167. Good evening. I am Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Chisholm Jr. right here in the RTR studio. Man, what a weekend. We've seen some great racing in Vegas. Junior, what did you think of that weekend? I wish we were down there where it was nice and warm.
Yeah, no kidding. They got a new package in NASCAR. You could see it.
Yeah. I'd say it worked.
I think it did too. I thoroughly enjoyed today's race in the NASCAR Cup Series. And yeah. Really, all in all, the racing in the Xfinity and the Truck Series was on par, similar to what we've seen, you know, for the last couple of years. But in the Cup Series, that was a different deal.
Tell me those guys aren't hauling the mail at Vegas, right? That track is incredibly fast.
Yeah, definitely. It's a really smooth. Well, there's bumps to it, but they're not bumps that take the tires off the ground like you see at a place like Atlanta. You know, it's not choppy bumps or, you know, there's swells and there's a little bit of character to it. It's sat in the sun for quite some time, but really, all in all, the track surface at Vegas is very conducive to good racing. They carry a lot of speed, and I think that I would give today's race, I'm a tough grader when it comes time for races.
Yeah.
And I pick on NASCAR quite a bit for the mile and a half program. I've never been a fan. I've never been a major super fan of what, you know, type of racing happens on a mile and a half racetrack.
Right.
Today, I would give it a B, and that's a pretty good score. You know, it's not an A-minus that the old Bristol would have got or like an A-plus that, you know, some of the Talladega races or Daytona races get. But I like the fact that, and I think it's only going to get better with time, the guys could race around each other today.
Right, right.
I like the fact that you need to still be aggressive and you still need to put the car in a precarious situation to get up beside somebody. But, man, today's race in the Cup Series, it's been a long time since you've seen two guys be able to race side by side through a corner at a mile and a half track, for any length of time. And I was thoroughly enjoyed what happened today.
You know, listening to Joey Logano when he got out of the car and they were doing the quick interview at the start-finish line, he said, and we've seen witness of it all day, the leader couldn't run away.
No.
He couldn't get away, especially on a restart.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, at the beginning of the race, we've seen Kevin Harvick, he pulled out to, you know, a sizable lead. He had a straightaway on the field. But really, after that, there was always, you know, it was a second to a half a second back was the furthest gap that you would get. And that is it's a game changer for Cup racing, you know, at a mile and a half specifically. I think that give it a couple races, get to a track like Texas. Get to another track like even California is going to be really interesting.
Right.
I think that it's going to be completely different style racing again at California. But
same package?
Yeah, same package.
It is the same package.
Then when you get to the short track at Phoenix,
right.
They're back up to the big horsepower. Everything that you loved about short track racing is going to be back there. But, give it a little bit of time. Let those engineers are notorious for ruining stuff.
Right. That's how we got to where we are now.
That's how we got to where we are now. But I will say that give the engineers some time, and I think that the Penske cars were the class of the field.
They were.
And really, the Roush Yates power plant was the class of the field today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's Harvick was fast, the 17 was fast. All the Roush Yates cars were really stout today. Obviously, Blaney had a lot of speed in his car, just had a couple of, you know, mishaps, if you will, on pit road and things like that.
Yeah.
But give Gibbs the opportunity to digest what took place today. I think Kyle Busch had enough speed to win the race.
Sure.
I don't think that the rest of the Gibbs camp did. But give those guys the opportunity to digest what happened today. Also give Stuart Haas a little bit more time to digest and focus in on what Hendrick, you know, had speed-wise at the beginning of the weekend. And I think when you the next mile and a half track, Texas, which the package rolls out on,
right,
it will be significantly different. And I think that you're going to be able to see some more aggression, both with the side draft and then as well with the side-by-side race. And I was really excited about the fact that they could simply drive side-by-side.
Yeah.
It's crazy that we have to say that. You know,
right.
it's stock car racing.
Right.
But it's part of it. And the last couple of years, they haven't been able to do that. And I think they turned a massive corner today. And I think that you're going to see they started turning this corner back at the All-Star race last year.
Right.
Right. The nice part about it was today it didn't look like they were going 5 miles an hour on the screen.
Right.
You know, at Charlotte last year, it looked like they were crawling around the racetrack. Sure, they could race in a pack, but
yeah,
it looked like they were going slow, which they were visibly. They slowed the cars down a little bit down the straightaway. They picked up the center of the corner speed just with the downforce. B is a good score for today's race, and really, if you could maintain a B average for the style of racing all the way through the year, I think we fixed the attendance problem, because I think everybody that was there got their money's worth today.
And a good crowd today, too. Nice to see that place was filled up.
It was.
Really,
for sure.
Really good to see.
And good on Vegas for doing all the investments that they're doing. You know, I listened to an interview, the CEO of Las Vegas Business Development, you know, the Chamber of Commerce. They invested $1 million into NASCAR events in the state of Nevada, which are, of course, both at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. But good on them for doing all the promotion that they do. I know a handful of people that actually jumped on a plane and went down there from here in Ontario. So definitely a cool event. I think when they roll back in there in the chase this year, because, of course, they get two races this year.
That's right.
It's going to be an even different race again, because everybody's going to be on top of this new platform.
Yep.
And I look for it to be a smoke show of a race.
You know, at the beginning of the race, just before it got underway, I threw a tweet out and I said, is today going to be the new wild card race? Pete Pistone. What do you think, Pete? Is it going to be that new wild card race? And Pete came back and said, it's got the potential, but the cream will always rise to the top. I think it will again. And sure enough, he was right on the money. So I believe they're going to be in for a busy, busy week on the morning drive over on Sirius XM NASCAR Radio. Mike Bagley and Pete Pistone kick things off 7 a.m. in the morning. There's going to be a lot of fans, I do believe, calling in, giving it a thumbs up. I believe everybody's going to like what they've seen today.
Yeah, and, you know, it didn't fundamentally change necessarily what takes place on a mile-and-a-half racetrack. You know, there was still the ability to be a good car versus a bad car.
Sure.
And you know, at Daytona or Talladega, you can unload a shopping cart, and if you're in the right draft and the right line and the right things take place, you can win.
Yep.
You know, I like the fact that a good car and a good team can still drive up to the front and still make hay, you know, still dig. It does put a premium on making sure that you eliminate mistakes, because we've seen today Kyle Busch was pretty adamant in his interview after the race. You just couldn't go anywhere after, you know, you gain the draft of the cars, the slower cars in front of you, trying to make speed up. Where in before you would try to stay out of the way because dirty air was what would screw you up. But
he could move. He ended up picking up a speeding penalty, right? So he had
exactly
to pick
that's
up
what
all
I mean. You
got
to eliminate. You got to eliminate mistakes with this new platform,
right?
And it has the ability to create a snooze fest of a race just simply because if you don't eliminate the mistake, or if you do eliminate your mistakes, you're going to drive away with the thing.
That's the way it used to be.
You've got the ability.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the way it used to be.
No, I think
they've changed that. I think they've changed it.
You used to be able to overcome, with a better car than everybody else, you used to be able to overcome a mistake easier.
Well, have a look at Saturday's race, and Kyle Busch did overcome a loose wheel. He had a loose wheel, and we're going to hear from Kyle Busch a little bit later in the show tonight. He had a great weekend, all in all. Won the truck race on Friday night, won the Xfinity race on Saturday, and then a really good, top five finish today?
Yeah.
Is that where he finished?
Third. Yep.
Third
yep.
spot?
Yep.
We'll hear from him. We got lots of clippage a little bit later. Let me tell you who we got coming on the show tonight before we get too far into this. We got a good one lined up for you. We're going to talk Eastbound International Speedway tonight with the general manager. We got Bob Smith going to jump on this program. We got lots happening out there, and we're going to talk to Bob all about that tonight. Also, while I was having a look out on the east coast of Canada, out there in Newfoundland, seeing a really cool story, Brian Healy, his son, Noah, he's got a big-time sponsor, big-time partner, that young Noah is going to go racing. Of course, Eastbound's got a drag strip and the oval track. I know Noah from the oval side of things in his Bandolero car, but he's going to be doing some double-duty type stuff this year with the dragster and the oval car. Young guy, 12 years old, but I'll tell you what, he carries himself real good. He's good on the racetrack, and I know his parents are right behind him, helping him all the way. You won't find a family that's more invested in the sport than the Healy's out there in Newfoundland. We're going to talk to Noah tonight on the show. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, for sure. I've only been to Eastside one time, of course, but, the time that I was out there with DJ and those guys, I spent a considerable amount of time talking with his dad, with Noah's dad.
Brian?
Brian. Standing, down on pit road and talking about his program and what they've got going on and kind of the transition from the drag strip back and forth to the oval and so forth. And just a great group of people and looking forward to talking to Noah and catching up on what he's got coming up for the season. And they're definitely racers. They're a racing family and it's a lot of fun to talk to them.
Absolutely. We'll also catch up tonight with Tim Ellis. Everyone knows Tim here in the province of Ontario. When you talk late model, Tim Ellis is one of those predominant veteran names that's done a lot of winning. He is going to team up with J.R. Fitzpatrick, believe it or not. These two guys, they got a couple of cars, I do believe. They're teammates, and they're going to come in and they're going to run the Sauble Speedway. It's the NASCAR Pro Late Model Series. There's like it's four races, and then you got your two APC races that are in there. Group of nights. It's going to be fast, it's going to be furious, and Tim Ellis, J.R. Fitzpatrick are going to combine efforts. It's going to be amazing. We're going to catch up with Timmy tonight and talk about it.
Yeah, pretty cool. And seeing the news, obviously, and Tim's going to talk more in depth about it, but seeing the news that JR is going to be running at the beach is pretty cool. Seeing a couple of the names as well, kind of tossed around online, the Sauble Speedway Pro Late Model Division is going to be pretty cool. With the addition of JR Fitzpatrick, of course, an APC champ and Oscar champ and all the great things that he's done. Tim Ellis, of course, a major name at Sauble Speedway, hard-nosed racer. But you've got the likes of Tom Gibbons and Jason Parker and Andrew Grizzell. And there's going to be quite the little stack up of cars lined up to get the championship at Sauble this year. And as they have in the past, and the neat part is there's a lot of guys that, have turned a lot of laps at Sauble in limited late models that also have pro late models that'll carry over. So I'm really looking forward to seeing who all throws their hat in the ring. You can't not mention a guy like Josh Stoddy as well. He's hungry for a win. Of course, longtime competitor in Sauble in the limited late model division. So it's going to be cool. I'm looking forward to seeing all the news come out of Sauble because there's some pretty cool stuff happening.
Well, we're going to be talking with Timmy Ellis tonight in hour number two. We're also going to have lots of time to open the phone lines up and take your calls in hour number two. I got a bunch of stuff I want to talk about. I had an exciting week, and I want to get to that in hour number two. Just lots going on, and we're going to kick things off here in just a couple of moments. We will hit this break, and I know Susie Q will be getting that phone dialed up, and we'll grab Bob Smith from Eastbound International Speedway, and we'll get tonight kicked off. Stay right there, everybody. We will be back.
Hey, race fans, this is Jay Dewar, 2010 Sportsman Series Cup champion.
Can we redo that?
Hello, race fans, this is Jay Dewar, 2010 Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup champion, and you're listening to Race Time Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Alexa, play NASCAR radio on Sirius XM.
Sirius XM NASCAR radio from Sirius XM.
Start your engine!
Gain access to NASCAR's biggest names.
Martin Truex Jr.
Kyle Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Hear live coverage of every single race.
They're side by side for the win! Woo!
It's unfiltered 24/7 NASCAR.
Welcome to Victory Lane.
We've got breaking news. Let's go to the hotline.
This is Sirius XM NASCAR radio, channel 90. Listen on the app or at home on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land.
Hey,
hear rare interviews and performances.
Oh, USA.
Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Racetime Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
Here's what you missed on NHL Game Day.
Scotty Bowman joins us. When you were coaching a team, was it important to kind of move a piece out, move a piece in, just to kind of keep it fresh, to bring in guys who hadn't won before?
I think winning a championship, it's very difficult to make changes. It'd be always good if you could add a piece or two without disturbing the chemistry of the team, which was not easy.
NHL Game Day on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. Sirius XM 91.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
It's Racetime Radio.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. If you shoot him, you'll just make him mad.
And we are back with you live tonight, having a little trouble there trying to get through to Bob, but we will get through to him, I can guarantee that. As we do that, while we're Sue's in process of dialing Bobby up, what do you say we hear from Kyle Busch from the truck race? We might as well do that right now. Let me see here. The domination of the race, he was pretty dominant in this truck race, and Kyle talked about it in the media center afterwards. Here's what he had to say.
The air was pretty harsh out there tonight, and getting behind guys, being behind guys. When I was behind freezing there, I tried working the high side. He'd move up. He'd push me higher. I'd run low. He'd come low, you know. So it was just a air manipulation game. And there were some lap trucks ahead of us. He finally got tight and lost his momentum off of four, which gave me the run. So I think you're going to see some of that stuff with cup cars as well, too. You know, if guys lose their momentum or break their momentum with some lap traffic and stuff like that, I think that's going to be important times for guys that are behind to try to pounce and make a move, you know. But overall, I go out there every week and run hard, run my best, and it's everybody else's job to chase me down.
Well, he's at 53 now, Junior, and counting. He's still got, another three or four races? And I know the next clip we've got, which we'll hear later, he'll tell us how many and what tracks he's going to do. But, he's got lots of opportunity to add to it.
Yeah, definitely. And he's sitting at 197 right now, wins.
For wins,
So, you know, across the top three national series, he would be over 200. If you looked at the NASCAR Whelen All-American Series races that he's partaken in, that he's been in, he's been in, you know, a few weekly NASCAR divisions. Obviously, he'd be well over the 200 mark if you included all of those. But 197 wins across the, you know,
top three
touring divisions. That's a massive stat. Obviously, you know, everybody compares it, or not even compares it, but draws a comparison. Richard Petty has 200 Cup wins, and, you know, he's got 197 across the top three. Nobody else has got either one of those stats.
No.
So it's definitely a big number, something to be celebrated within the sport, and hats off to Kyle Busch. He's a wheelman, even though he has me blocked.
He sure is. We'll get to more about Kyle Busch a little bit later in the show, but let's switch gears now. And let's talk Eastbound International Speedway. Out in beautiful Newfoundland, we have the general manager with us right now on the hotline. We got Bob Smith. Bobby, what's going on, brother?
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
Doing good. Doing real good. Now, it's kind of late out there, right? Like, you're an hour and a half difference. I can never figure out that half hour. Do you know, from being at Newfoundland, do you know why it's the extra half hour, Bob?
No, just to be ahead of everybody else, I guess.
Just to be a little bit different, right?
Yeah.
Incredible. How's the season all coming together? I know, what a beautiful place, Eastbound International Speedway. How's everything coming?
Oh, it's coming great, Joe. And hi, Joe Jr. And your listeners as well there.
Hey, hey.
Hey, buddy. No, the season's coming together great. You mentioned your program before. We are a speedway and a drag strip, so we have 8 NASCAR and NX events this year, and 6 IHRA drag events, along with a finale in October for the drag racing as well. So it's coming together pretty good there.
Unreal. When do you guys officially kick off then? Is it the May long weekend, as everybody calls it?
Yes, that's right. The long weekend in May, May 24th, as we call it here in Newfoundland. Don't always fall on the 24th, of course. Usually it's earlier. I think our opener is, well, it's 11 weeks from today, actually, Joe. It's May the 19th for the ovals, right?
Man, look at that. That calendar has fallen off pretty quick, isn't it?
Oh, really quick. That's what I say to people. I'm talking to more and more racers all the time now over the last few weeks. And, you know, before you know it, it'll be a blink and it'll be here.
It will be. Yeah. The track, Bob, is what? You got Patty Squires built that racetrack 5 years ago. This is year number 6, isn't it?
That's correct, yeah. That's our, we're heading into our 6th season, believe it or not. And, yeah, it was about 8 years ago when Patty purchased the property there and started creating his dream. And, you know, it's been growing ever since. Huge.
Unbelievable. Beautiful facility. Drag strip down the front. State-of-the-art grandstands, really. The racing surface. I always try and sort of match it up, Junior, to what a Kawartha Speedway would be. Would you think that's a pretty close comparison?
I would.
I would. Yeah, for sure.
When you look at how you sit in the grandstands at Kawartha, they've of course got the horse track between the racetrack and the grandstands. The drag strip is a little bit wider on the Kawartha side or on the eastbound side, but the grandstands are closer to the fence just simply because you're not back far in the enclosure like Kawartha. So it's actually kind of neat. I would equate it to you know, kind of like Sonoma, where Sonoma has the grandstands and then there's the drag strip and then the racing surface on the other side.
I was talking more about the oval comparison.
Oh, the comparison.
The oval comparison.
Okay, well,
yeah.
Honest with you, no, then. I would not call it Kawartha at all.
Really?
Really. Like, 100% honest, when you look at the Kawartha racetrack, it's kind of like a D, but you don't have the elevation change like you do at Eastbound. The elevation change is one of the wildest things that I've seen. I would equate the back straightaway with like a Concord Speedway down in Charlotte, and then I would equate the turns to similar to like a Full Throttle with slightly less banking.
Yeah.
Like
it would be,
Kawartha is
but it's
like
the
really,
same length as Kawartha.
But yeah, but Kawartha is really wide. It's really, really wide.
Yeah, it is. And so is Eastbound. It's really wide.
I mean,
I guess you were there once. You have to be there more than once, maybe.
Yeah,
but
maybe.
It's a beautiful racetrack.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
You guys have done an amazing job with it. Sportsman cars, we call them sportsmen out there, but really late models anywhere else you go in the country, really. We got a good class of them out there, too, Bob. Things looking good for this year?
Oh, yes, for sure, Joe. Our car counts are looking up for sure. We're getting some people moving around now, obviously, from classes. We got some of the younger kids moving up from the Bandolero, going right into the Sportsman this year, actually. You got Willow and Grove started late last year, and Sarah Thorne as well. I mean, they're going to be coming right out into the Sportsman this season, so that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, and I missed Owen Grove's debut, if you will, last year, right at the end of the season. But, man, he lit the lamp, not only went out and passed some of the fastest guys, yeah, even out there and beat them.
He did, yeah, he did. He done an amazing job. These kids got talent, boy, I tell you. All the kids, right from the Bandoleros, and then some of them moving up to the Legends. And that, there's some good talent there.
Yeah, there sure is. Bob, one thing I've noticed with Eastbound International Speedway, a lot of racetracks, no matter where you go, really, in North America, if it isn't one of your bigger NASCAR tracks, usually you just roll up, buy your ticket at the gate, and in you go. And that's the way it is at Eastbound, too. You can do that. But what I'm going to get at here is you've got a network put together of places where fans can go online, buy their tickets,
and then
head for the racetrack. Tell us a bit about that program that you got laid out there, because it's cool.
Yes, it is. It's really cool, actually, because it saves a lot of congestion at the gates on race days, of course. But we work with a ticketing company to provide our online ticketing. So any of our events are ticketed that way ahead of time. They're always on sale prior. And, you know, what we find and, you know, we found in the past, a lot of people, they can go to the Orange stores here in Newfoundland, a gas retailer, and there's little kiosks there that they can purchase their tickets right on the kiosk, or you can purchase them online before you even leave home. But the Orange stores prove really well. And what we find is a lot of people will purchase their tickets on the way out so they don't have to stand up and wait, you know, and there's never a big wait time anyway, but still, it gives them that convenience that they can just go into the scan gate and get on in.
Yeah, pretty cool way of doing it. That really caught my eye the first time I was out there. And the community support that's built around the racetrack. Of course, you guys aren't right in St. John's. You got to come outside St. John's by about, 20 minutes or so down the Trans-Canada. And you actually, you're right in Avondale, Newfoundland. Not right in it, but just outside of Avondale. Community support is something that's huge.
Yes, that's right. I mean, you know, the town of Avondale itself, I mean, even a lot of our team and crew are from that area and Conception Bay North area, Center area and stuff. And, you know, and, this year we're planning on, you know, working close with the fire department down there and getting them more involved possibly and everything. But, you know, it's a beautiful little community. And like I say, it's not far. You know, you get people in St. John's thinking, oh, it's way out there, but it's not at all. It's only, you know, 20 minutes outside of St. John's. So if you're in the east end of St. John's, you're only about 40 minutes away. So it's not far. And, I mean, you know, we get drivers from all over, you know, Conception Bay, Trinity Bay, Placentia Bay areas. You know, so a lot of these drivers may drive an hour, hour and a half to get in there. And, you know, but, yeah, we're not far from St. John's whatsoever.
I will say, Bob, and to anybody listening, if you're planning a vacation this summer and you want to go see some sights and you want to take the wife and kids and you want to go see something that's really cool, obviously you got to go to Newfoundland, because if you haven't been there, it's cool. Just not even an ad for the racetrack. Just the actual the province of Newfoundland is so cool, the island. But I will say that the amount of cars pulled off the side of the road on the Trans-Canada Highway is the craziest thing that I've ever seen. And I want to point it out to anybody who's going, there's always there was 50 cars pulled off to the side of the road and nobody around the car, no damage to the car, no nothing.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
The people are, they're berry picking or they're fishing.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, that's just one thing. If you do take me up on the offer and go out there, you're going to ask yourself, why are all these cars pulled off to the side of the road? And that's why.
And that is, yeah.
Yep, for sure.
Pretty wild. Lots to see and do in Newfoundland. Lots between the, you know, the big cities and where the racetrack is. Bob, for fans that may not have ever visited Eastbound International Speedway, you guys have got them all covered off. You're online. You're all over the place. Tell us where we can point fans to.
Well, you can go to our website, first and foremost, at eastboundpark.com, and that shows our two basic entities for racing there, the Speedway and the Drag Strip. And also our Facebook page, Eastbound Park. You can go on there and any announcements. I noticed Mike put up the driver's meeting there tonight now, so that's all announced. Get ready to rock and roll. So, you know, check out our website and our Facebook page.
Absolutely. Mike James, a key role there. He takes care of all the promotional stuff. You'll hear him at the racetrack as the announcer. How's Mikey doing? Is he all set up? And how are things going sponsorship? He's getting them signed up or what?
Oh, yes. Yeah, Mikey's hoof on the pavement, so to speak. You know, doing quite well there now, revisiting all of our current sponsors and going after new sponsors. And it is going well right now, I must say. We got a few other things on the go too. You know, won't let the cat out of the bag tonight, but you know, we got some announcements coming up over the next couple of weeks or something. You know, just different ways for fan experience and that kind of thing to engage the fans and get them involved more with us. So Mike is working actively on that kind of stuff as well.
Gotta love it. Driver's meeting is coming up. I know it's a little bit later than normal. We've had driver's meetings a lot earlier than this, but our driver's meeting comes up on March the 13th. It is a Wednesday night, right, at the Holiday Inn.
Yes, that's correct. It's at the Holiday Inn in Portugal Cove Road here in St. John's. And we're going to be opening up for registrations for your pit stalls, NASCAR and NX memberships, that kind of thing, at 6 p.m. And then our driver's meeting will start at 7.
I'm pretty excited. I know some of the stuff that's in behind the scenes. I'm fortunate enough at Eastbound to be privy to some of the stuff. And I know what you're saying. We're not letting no cat out of the bag. Trust me, if you're a driver, if you're a team member, you're going to want to be at that meeting. You guys got a lot of cool stuff planned.
Yes, for sure. And we can't wait, Joe. And, you know, get you back down here, of course, and, you know, get the ball rolling with this season and get everybody pumped.
Yeah, it's going to be off the hook. I can guarantee it. Key events throughout the course of the year. Looking through the schedule, you got some pretty hot events coming through. And Eastbound International Speedway is a proud member of that NASCAR Weekly All-American Series, too.
Yes, yeah, the NASCAR Wheeling All-American. This will be our, I believe, our fourth year, actually. And we're really excited with that program and, you know, being able to crown a champion and send them to Charlotte for our Division I for the sportsmen. You know, and we operate, as you know, two divisions under NASCAR, Division I sportsmen, Division II hobby stock. And, yeah, it's a real exciting program there.
It's going to be off the hook this year. Wayne Walsh, Junior, you've seen Wayne Walsh go when you were out there. The guy is a rocket ship in that 99. He's championship twice. What do you think his chances are this year? Man, you've seen the competition.
I've seen the competition, but, I mean, Owen Groves, he's got to be, old Wayne's got to be shaking in his boots out there. He's got to be. When you see Owen Groves come out in night number one in his debut in a 75-lap race and smoke the field like that, and I know, you know, I follow a lot of guys on Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that, and I seen a brand new black chassis in the Dean Martin shop, and you know, there's a lot of different parts and pieces going to be thrown together for this year. And of course I know guys like Phil Fowler, the guy's hungry.
How about that?
The guy's hungry. He wants to get out there and show him. So I know that Wayne was the class of the field last year, and of course two championships now. But he's got to stay up on it. He's definitely, there's no resting in those laurels because those other guys are coming for him.
They will be, and they'll be coming at him hard. A lot of good competition. Bob, we're going to have our hands full this year, I think.
Oh, for sure. I think so too, boys. The going to be a lot of competition in all the divisions. And even our Legend program is going to bounce back a little bit this year with some new drivers coming in and stuff, which is great. And just the people progression from one series to another. So I think you're going to see a lot of competition this year.
Hey, I was asked by DJ. DJ, of course, we were texting back and forth and you know, prior to the season kicking off. And he said, all right, so I need you for the Canadian Tire or the Pinty Series. And then he's got a couple of late model races. And he's like, oh, and plus you're coming with me to Eastbound. And I was like, oh, when is that? And he's like, well, we haven't even talked about it yet. But I hope that happens again.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Just so you know.
We are going to attempt to possibly put a pro stock event together for this summer. So we're working on that there now, and you know, hopefully we can have some details of that in the next few weeks, and we'll see where we go with it.
Man, you guys never, ever just sort of kick back and take it easy. You guys are always trying to, you know, get that next event, and that's what's cool about Eastbound. How's Patty Squires doing? I haven't talked to Patty in a while. How's he making out?
Oh, Patty's doing well. He can't wait to get back at it either. As you know, Joe, we got a ride-along car, which he's getting ready for this season. Him and Phil Fowler actually been working on that quite a bit over the last little while. So they're always got something to do with the racing. And I'm pretty sure he was somewhere watching the Vegas race tonight.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's doing well.
Good stuff. And you mentioned Phil Fowler. I'll tell you what, texting back and forth with Phil here over the last couple of weeks, he is on the cusp of making some big announcements with sponsorship, which is really cool. I know he's been busy in the shop. He's got that car totally rebuilt. He's not going to have too much trouble this year.
No, he don't stop. That's one thing about Phil. He don't stop at it, do he?
Well, we're looking forward to it, Bob. Definitely that driver's meeting coming up March the 13th. March the 13th, put that one on your calendar, and everybody's got to be at that one. It's going to be a good time.
Yes, for sure.
Bob, thanks so much for your time tonight on Race Time. We're going to be, when we come back after break, we're going to have a Bandolero driver on from out there. We got young Noah Healy going to join us. He's an exciting driver.
Oh, yes, big time. He's an animate driver, like he's really into the crowd too. Noah's a really cool kid. I see the program that they're putting together this year for the Children's Wish. It's a really, really great thing. And he's running double duty, doing the Bandolero and junior dragster. So he's going to be a pretty busy kid this summer.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Bobby, you have a good one. We will catch up with you soon, and we'll see you at that driver's meeting.
For sure, buddy. You take care, too, Joe, and Joe Jr.
Nice talking to you, buddy.
You betcha. That's Bob Smith, the general manager of Eastbound International Speedway. Sounds like things are all coming together for that big, beautiful track. They're in for a good season.
Yeah, definitely it is. And looking forward to seeing what they can put together. That's exciting to hear about the Pro Stock. I know there's quite a few guys that are out there that have Pro Stock cars.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
when you,
I think
when you
got
look
like
at
seven
it,
or eight of them out there on the rocks.
I know, so. I know Patty's son has got one, right? And then Phil Fowler. Fowler had one that was up in the box. I know for a fact that Josh Collins has got one sitting out there. He might have two or three of them sitting out there. But
knowing Josh.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, it's definitely cool that the sportsman car versus the pro stock car is significantly different, obviously. Definitely pretty cool to hear that they're planning an event at least out there.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. We're going to hit this break. When we come back, we'll talk to young Noah. We'll find out what big plans he's got. I tell you what, he's got some cool partnerships put together for a 12-year-old. Hang in there, man. I'll tell you what, this is going to be good. Stay with us tonight on Race Time.
Hey, Canada, this is Michelle Wallace at Edmonton International Raceway, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Canada Talks.
The NFL is on SiriusXM. Listen to every game from the preseason through Super Bowl 53 on your radio.
Here we go. Tackle football. Let's play.
And remember, your hometown broadcast is always available on the SiriusXM app. When you're at home, turn down the TV volume and stream the game on your phone and SiriusXM connected devices and speakers. And when your team isn't playing, follow the National Football League 24/7 on SiriusXM NFL Radio, Channel 88.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Here's what you missed on NHL Game Day.
Scotty Bowman joins us. When you were coaching a team, was it important to kind of move a piece out, move a piece in, just to kind of keep it fresh, to bring in guys who hadn't won before?
I think winning a championship, it's very difficult to make changes. It'd be always good if you could add a piece or two without disturbing the chemistry of the team, which was not easy.
NHL Game Day on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. Sirius XM 91.
Alexa, play NASCAR Radio on Sirius XM.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio from Sirius XM.
Start your engine!
Get out
access to NASCAR's biggest names.
Martin Truex Jr.
Kyle Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Hear live coverage of every single race.
They're side by side for the win.
It's unfiltered 24/7 NASCAR.
Welcome to Victory Lane.
We've got breaking news. Let's go to the hotline.
This is SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90. Listen on the app or at home on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Racetime Radio.
Only on SiriusXM 167.
We get you closer.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio on SiriusXM 167. Canada Talks. And now, back with your host, Joe Chisholm.
We are back with you live tonight in the Racetime Radio studio, and hello to everyone on SiriusXM Channel 167. So glad you could tune in tonight. We are going back out to the Rock right now, back out to Edmonton, back to Eastbound International Speedway, and we're going to welcome in a 12-year-old driver from the Bandolero division. I've had the fortune of watching this youngster race for the last couple of years, and I'll tell you what, he's on the cusp of doing some big things in his Bandolero, and he's got some new partnership. Let's welcome in Noah Healy. Noah, how are you tonight?
Good, how are you, Joe?
Doing fantastic. My friend, how's the winter been for you? You've been staying warm and getting that race car all ready to go by the look of it.
Yeah, we're getting it ready.
Good stuff. You got some new partnerships there. Why don't you tell us who you've got on your race car and what you've been doing?
We've just signed on with Children's Wish, and we're not sure how many sponsors are coming back this year. We're still trying to figure out.
Yeah.
But we're getting it figured out.
Yeah, good for you. Now, you're going to do the dragster and you're going to do your Bandolero. You got two happening this year?
Yeah.
Man, that's going to be busy for you. Your dad, Brian's going to be, he'll be going up and down that Trans-Canada more than most people.
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff. So over the winter, what did you have to do to that race car to get it ready? Because you were pretty quick last year.
Well, most times we're going through the car to make sure everything's right in it, and we're trying to get it set up properly.
Yeah, yeah. So did you do anything? Did you do any studying to know where you're going to pick up some time this year on the racetrack?
Yeah, we've looked at the track a little bit, and we looked at some GoPro videos, and we see where we're off the gas and on the gas. So we think we can improve on that.
Ah, that's a good thing. You know, studying those videos, it can pay huge dividends. You hear the Cup guys talking about that all the time, right?
Noah, what's the obviously you did a great job last season. You had a lot of fun, and your family is super into the motorsports. I want to hear from you and what you want to improve upon going into 2019.
Something we've been looking at is our times a lot. Like, we've got good times, but we think they can be a little bit better. So that's what we're trying to improve on now.
Absolutely. Getting some more lap time out of the car, right?
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, looking at obviously on the drag strip side versus the oval side, and this is a conversation that you're going to have the rest of your life, but what's more fun, going in a straight line or turning left?
Personal opinion, I like turning left.
Yeah, buddy. High five through the air. That's any of my drag racing buddies right now are glaring at me, I guarantee it. But but turning left is always more fun, ain't it?
Yeah, he is a lot of fun doing it. Tell us about your drag program. How long have you been doing that? I wasn't even aware that you were drag racing.
Well, we raced two races last year with the dragster, and we decided to pick it up this year, so we're going to try full time.
Good stuff. Now, motor-wise, is it the same motor that you're using in both cars, or are they two totally different?
They're totally different. I'm not too sure about the one in the Dragster, but the one in the Bando is a Briggs & Stratton.
Yeah. Good stuff. Did you watch any of the coverage on Legends Nations from down at Citrus County over the over Speed Weeks? Did you happen to get any of that coverage in?
No, not really.
No, I guess if you watch it, you'd want to go race, right?
Yeah.
Good stuff. Noah, tell us a bit about you. What school do you go to? Where are you from?
I'm from Conception Bay, South Newfoundland. I go to Frank Roberts Junior High in grade 7.
Good stuff. Yeah. I bet you classmates, friends of yours are pretty envious of you with that race car and doing what you do. Are many of them into racing?
There's a few of them in my school that are into racing. A few that really like to come out and watch a lot.
Yeah, good. Good stuff. We'll have to get them out to the racetrack, and they'll be shocked and amazed at how well you fly around the track. Tell us a little bit more about Make-A-Wish and what you're going to be doing with Make-A-Wish.
Well, we just started up a GoFundMe page, and you can go look at information on my Facebook page, 84 Healers Racing, and we're planning on doing some more things we don't quite know yet, but we're hoping some of our sponsors can help us out.
Yeah, good stuff. So you've got a Facebook page, and tell us what that is again.
84 Healy's Racing.
Okay, so everybody can go to that, and there's a GoFundMe page connected, and you're going to be doing more stuff.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. So, and that's the way fans can keep up with you, I guess, right? Do you guys post results? And I imagine you got your bum busy doing that. Do you? You got your mom probably busy doing the PR work, or is that Dad's job too?
Both of them, actually.
Good deal. Who's your? Who do you look up to in racing? Noah, obviously your dad, but who do you look up to in racing? As you know, whether it be, I want to hear at Eastbound, and then as well, kind of anywhere else in motorsports. Who do you look up to?
The person I look up to in Eastbound mostly would be Owen Groves.
Nice.
He's really taught me a lot over the years.
And how about up in the NASCAR ranks? You got a favorite there that runs in the Cup Series?
Chase Elliott, all-time favorite.
Nice.
Chase Elliott.
Cool.
Right on. Yeah. And have you followed Chase for a while?
Yeah, ever since I started racing.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. Well, Noah, this has been great catching up with you tonight. By the sounds of it, we got an exciting season with you going to be out there in two different disciplines of racing. Yeah, that's cool. Good stuff. Anything else you want to add, Noah?
Not really.
No, you're all done for tonight. You going to be at the driver's meeting? Are we going to see you there?
Yep.
Good deal, perfect. Buddy. Well, thanks so much for your time tonight.
Yep.
Good luck next year, buddy.
Thanks.
You betcha. That's Noah Healy. You can see him at Eastbound International Speedway. And get to that website, to that Facebook page, and check him out. Young drivers. Cool to get some of the young stars on here as well, Junior. I think back on Racetime Radio, I got to go all the way back to, I believe it was our first year on the air. And we had a young guy, I don't know whether he was 12 or maybe 13 years of age, but he was a young driver, just like Noah, only he was on the dirt side and was requesting to get an interview on Racetime Radio. So we looked at, sure, let's get him on the air. He's part of motorsports. Let's bring him on. That driver happens to be Kyle Larson that we know today. One day, I'm going to pull that interview out. We got to listen to it. But he was a young, 12, 13 years old.
Yep.
And now he was driving some of the...
At that time, he was driving midgets. And he was just entering. He was the youngest kid in the state of California to ever strap into a 410 sprint.
Yes.
So he was
before that.
There was a lot of outrage getting a he was 13 years old, I want to say, getting strapped into a 410 sprint. And they were promoting the fact that he could do it. And,
oh, yeah.
And he was as well. He was an advocate for himself and just super cool, you know. And the Larson story was, you know, just like that all the way through. And it's pretty neat because you've got an interview with Kyle Larson from then, you know, when he was just getting started in sprint cars. And then obviously he went on to great things in sprint cars in all the way to the age of 17. You know, then you also have an interview with him from New Smyrna, the night before he strapped into his first, it was the second race because he raced the Governor's Cup, few weeks before that.
The Red Eye
100.
Yep.
And then, you know, he raced that a few weeks before he finished like fourth or something like that. And then you got him the night before he strapped into the first World Series race when he drove the number 36 car, that white car with the flames all over
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
With the IAG sponsorship. It was Tim Russell's car.
Right.
It would be just like strapping into David Rogers' car. You know, Tim Russell and David Rogers were there every single year. The cars looked the same every year. Kyle Larson, of course, strapped into his car and went and ran that. And later on that season, of course, went K&N racing and it snowballed from there.
But, it sure did.
I think you also got Kyle Larson right before his first ARCA race at Daytona.
I did, actually. Got him there and spoke with Kyle again before. There was 2 years where they did the battle at the beach right at Daytona International Speedway, put a track on the backstretch, used part of the backstretch at the big track. And they brought in the K&N series. They had the late models here, the NASCAR Wheel and All-American late models. And, it was big times. Had Kyle then. He went out, and I want to say he won that race. Ended up a little bit of contact.
A little bit.
To push a guy out of the way to do the win.
He but, wrecked. Yeah. He absolutely destroyed. It was C.E. Falk.
Yes, it was.
The number 40 Toyota car, and then, of course, there was the 98 Toyota car of Kyle Larson. And on the last lap, coming to the checkers, Larson just literally ran him over.
Yeah.
It's like the first time that I've ever seen a guy take a guy out so bad that it rips the entire nose off the guy's car. And actually won the race. But, I mean, you got to win somehow, and you got to have the desire to win.
Yeah.
And we seen that out of Kyle Larson at the Battle at the Beach. Everybody at that point knew that kid's not here to mess around.
No, he was...
Not necessarily conducive to making friends, but
definitely. In fairness, I don't think I've ever seen Kyle Larson do that again.
No, he learned his lesson pretty quick. Your lesson in this sport. And you know what? It doesn't matter what the sanctioning body does. It doesn't matter what a sponsor does or a personal, a personal family friend does. You learn your lesson in the sport by learning and, by public opinion of what comes down. And you've never seen Kyle Larson do anything like that again.
No. And he's gone on to have quite a successful career.
I'd say.
Going on, we had him after his first truck win. He was in the trucks. We had him on. I remember that night we had Kyle Larson on. He had won his first truck race. And we had tried the first time ever where we open the phone lines up with him on the air and allow the fan to ask the question, and that worked out really good. Remember that night?
That was.
Yeah,
that was
cool. And then, of course, I believe we had him on after his first Xfinity win, and then after that, Kyle was on his own. Away he went.
Yep.
Into the
we don't know his number anymore.
No. I imagine if I looked hard enough, I'd find it.
Oh, but, yeah, absolutely.
I've caught up with Kyle at the track through... I think it was media day at Daytona.
Yep.
And it was funny because we in that discussion, standing there just talking, him and I, looked all the way back to, I said, can you remember coming on Racetime Radio? And he actually could.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was cool all the way through.
And that's where we focus. You know, we talk about NASCAR. We talk about the Cup Series. Obviously, we couldn't be a radio show about racing if we didn't. But our focus is on getting little guys like Noah to that stage one day, and we want to put a spotlight on everybody that's in short track racing.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get back then, Junior. We got some time here before I got to throw it back to Toronto and do the news and highlight reel at the top of the hour. I got to do that. But before we do that, let's hear from Kyle. Kyle Busch.
How could you forget that name?
Well,
come on.
A few too many names and a few too many things happening right here, right now. But when it comes time for Kyle Busch, He's got 53 wins right now in the Truck Series. He's got a couple more opportunities coming up this year where he's going to get back behind the wheel of that number 51 truck and try and add to that. And here's what Kyle had to say about the tracks and the reason why he's not strapping in more.
There's more rules, including not being able to run the playoff cutoff race and the playoff races. So when the trucks come back here in September, it's a playoff race for those guys, so I'll be ineligible to be able to compete. But overall, with the races that I do have left on the schedule, we got Martinsville and Texas and Charlotte, right? So those are some of the more fun places I like to go, intend to be able to go, because we got to work our schedule with the 51 truck with my part-time schedule with a bunch of the other drivers, and some of those drivers are only 16. They're not 18 yet, so they got to run the short track. So I don't have very many short track opportunities these days, like Dover or Gateway or some of those places.
Yeah, and you know Kyle Busch, if possible, would be in that truck, right?
Oh, he would be.
The guy just can't get enough racing, and I think that's why we see, you know, a guy like Kyle looking at 197 wins right now over the top three series. That's why he's got the numbers.
Racing,
he's got seat time.
Racing's not a job for him. It is his job. Racing's not a job for him. Racing is his life, and that's what he does. He doesn't do it for a job. You see,
it's also his passion.
Exactly.
Right.
100%. And you know, and the same thing can be said about Kyle Larson. The same thing can be said about Christopher Bell. The list goes on that side of guys who, you know, live and eat and sleep and breathe this sport. Kyle Busch just has a better opportunity than most to be able to get into really good equipment, and he has earned that all the way through and through.
Yeah, he has, and it was funny because the other night you and I were sitting there watching Truck Racer, was it yesterday afternoon? I said, isn't that odd? You can tell the drivers that are, you know, racing for a living, and that is their job. And then you can tell the guys that are doing it for a living, but it's their passion as well because they can't get enough seat time. They're, you know, when they're done at the big track, they got to get into a dirt car. They got to get into a late model. And, you know, they're out spending and doing more laps, and they just love it.
They do. And, you know, when you look at the sport of motorsports, that – back in the day, that's how it was. You know, Dale Earnhardt had a Busch Grand National team, and he would race Busch and Cup regularly. You know, he would do that. You'd do that on a regular basis. But a lot of them would. You know, you look back at the guys who raced Cup and also raced ASA. You know, and I'm not talking about racing, you know, in the same little town as an appearance and getting paid to do it. They would literally finish racing at Bristol on a Saturday night and jump in a little single prop plane and fly to Cayuga or fly to Slinger Speedway in Wisconsin and race an ASA late model, their own car that they paid to get in the back gate to go race.
Right, right.
Today you don't see that. And Kyle Busch is the prime example of a guy who does that. And, you know, it's obviously a sore spot for fans to see a guy like Kyle Busch strap in and go out and dominate against the guys who don't have the equipment, don't have the time, don't have anything.
Right.
But it should be a bright spot and should be celebrated within the sport as opposed to looked down upon because the guy is so good.
Yeah, he is, and that's why he is so good. He just can't get enough of it. We are going to throw it back to Toronto, get you up to date, that quick news highlight package. If you're tuned in on racetimeradio.com, you're not going to hear it. But definitely on SiriusXM, you will hear that. And then Junior and I will be back for hour number two. We got Tim Ellis coming up. We've also got your calls. We still have, how about the winner of the Xfinity race? Yeah, it was Kyle Busch. We got more with him on the other side. So stay right there. Don't go anywhere. Junior and I will be back, and we will take you right in to hour number two here tonight on Race Time. So glad you could tune in. Stay right there. We'll be back.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on, come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Check a flag here, baby.
All
yeah, baby.
Things big racing.
Oh, my God.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Left side up, left side up.
Jimmy Johnson's flowing. The race leader on two.
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app. With the two Joes
here on Racetime Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
And look at that, just like that. Hour number two begins tonight, live on Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in. Thanks for carving out some time to tune in to Junior and I here. We sure do appreciate it. You may be tuned in on SiriusXM Channel 167 Canada Talks. And hello to you. Thank you for doing that. Or maybe you're tuned in on 98.9 XFM out in Antigonish, Nova Scotia. Or how about the Performance Motorsportnetwork.com? You hear us two, three times a week on there, as well as Gearhead Country Radio. So many ways you can listen to Racetime Radio. And if you happen to have missed the program and want to get back and have a listen to the whole deal, very easy to do, and never miss Racetime Radio again. Just get to iTunes at your Apple Store. Get that iTunes happening. Go in there, search Racetime Radio, and don't forget to click that subscribe button. And when you do that, you will have every single issue that we do. You'll be able to have it, and you'll have it updated right to you. So please do that. And again, thanks for tuning in. Junior, one thing I want to remind everybody of, Motorama is coming up March 8th, 9th, and 10th. And man, is it going to be a Motorama this year.
It is, for sure. And there's a lot of excitement building around it. There's a lot of people talking about going to be there with their cars. I have never seen so many cars in the completion stages here in Ontario as I ever in the past. I have never seen as many cars done or close to being done.
And ready to go.
And ready to go for a show in the past like you're seeing today.
Yeah,
you know, just scroll through Facebook. If you like a bunch of the local guys around here, a bunch of the local stock car teams. I mean, everything from four cylinders to street stocks to super stocks to, you know, late models and pro late models, super late models. There's a lot of equipment done already. The wrenching's done,
and
it's just waiting for the snow to leave. Usually there's a mad scramble, in the background, you know, trying to get everything done in, you know, from March until the end of April. No, I don't have cars done. I don't have stuff bolted together. You know, is the typical saying that you hear. But you know, just scrolling through Mike Schmidt from London Rec.
I seen that posted, today on Facebook.
Both pro late models are done for next year. They're ready for wrap.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, Andrew Grizzell's car is done. I know J.R. Fitzpatrick's car is three quarters of the way done. Daryl Lake's car is already wrapped and ready to go. You know, just going down through the line, Josh Stadio is talking to him. He's ready for decals and a couple other little bolt-ons, but that's it.
Yeah.
You know, you got motors already strapped into these cars and ready to go. It's definitely impressive, and really stability lends that. Or allows that to happen.
Yeah.
Right? Stability allows that to happen.
And knowing the plan, right?
Knowing the plan. You know what's going to happen. You know the rules package for next year. You know everything is set up, lined up, ready to go. You know your schedule. When that happens and comes together early, you have everything done. You have your ducks in a row, and you get to it through the Christmas break, through, you know, that portion, through the winter, and you start to get everything bolted together and ready to go.
So wonder no more when you sit in the grandstand this summer, right, or you get to the racetrack, the first couple of races, your local track, and you've been a frequent visitor of that speedway over the years, and you're sitting in the grandstand, you see that car that normally fit in, you know, 10th spot, may get into the top 10, but that guy, he tries real hard, car looks good, but really doesn't get the results. And then all of a sudden he'll come out this year and he'll be, you know, maybe going for that win or contending for the win. And you sometimes wonder, where'd the guy find the speed? Like,
yeah.
What happened?
Did the driver
there?
Get better? No, they did the work.
They were prepared.
Exactly. In preparation, the biggest thing that I find with, whether it be a new team or a team that's stepping into a different series, you don't know what to prepare for.
Right.
That's the biggest thing. And, you know, a good team that's been there and done that, they know what to prepare for. They know what spare parts they need to buy. They know, you know, what needs to be done in the off season and what should be done, you know, to set up the car midweek.
Mm-hmm.
They know that they're doing this adjustment with the plan of if it doesn't work, they have another adjustment ready to go.
Right.
And, you know, it comes down to where your mounts are located. It comes down to what spring inventory you have. It comes down to what shock inventory you have and what bump stops you have and all those things. And it sounds very complex, but the biggest thing, and if you're a team that is struggling to find that extra speed, and you have a car that is within the rule book, you have the ability to get better through the off season without spending money.
Right.
That's the biggest thing, is everybody looks at across the pond, or not across the pond, but across the pit area and says, that guy has got $100,000 and I've got $20,000.
Yeah.
And that's why that guy's beating me. No, it's because that $100,000 is also, that guy also bolted together a bunch of stuff in the off season and came up with ingenious ideas on how to make his car go faster. And it didn't cost money.
Yeah.
And
cost,
now that's
time and it costs study.
Cost study. And you.
Now, if it's outside the lines of the rules, though, he's going to get caught with it and it'll get pulled back anyway.
And you know what? If you're not thinking outside the rules, then you're not going anywhere anyways. Now, I'm not condoning cheating. It's just everybody is looking for every little thing. So they might be working within, if there's 15 gray areas in the rule book, they're working within 16. And one of those you didn't even know was a gray area.
Yeah, it's not a gray area until the summer, right?
Exactly. And now it's a gray area because nobody has ever even thought of that idea.
Right.
And a good team, it doesn't matter if you're in four cylinders, if you're in go-karts.
Right.
It's the exact same thing. And really, you know, the preparation is everything. If you left your car on the trailer until January 1st, and then you said, I'll unload it, and I'll put it in the garage, and I'll look at it.
Right.
And then you don't start tearing it apart until February. Well, that guy that beats you every weekend, that you complain to the promoters about, that spends all the money.
Right.
He unloaded the car after the last race and rolled it into his shop.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
stripped it down.
Right.
You know, I've seen plenty of posts. Taylor Holdaway, I remember this post vividly from not last year, the year before.
Right.
And it might have even been 3 years ago because he won the championship.
Oh, yeah.
He won the championship on the Saturday night. On the Sunday afternoon, he posted a photo of a bare chassis in his shop. And that was, he won the championship, rolled it home, stripped it completely down to a bare chassis. Well, there's a lot of teams out there that would actually just, you know, we won the championship. Great.
Right.
But now a guy like Taylor Holdaway is going down and racing at the Rattler 250, and he's racing at the All-American 400 and those types of things. So, it's not, and I'm a big proponent of money, and money does create speed. And so you should be looking at that as well. But that being said, if you're not exploiting absolutely everything that is either free or worth $20, then you're getting your ass kicked for a reason.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, we got a caller up on the hotline. Oh, look at that. Faithful Kent, what's going on, buddy?
Not much.
Good stuff. What's going on tonight out there?
Oh, no. Getting a little more snow.
Getting a little bit more snow out on the east coast of Canada?
Yeah, just going to give us the last taste, I think, and then we're going to start warming up to go racing.
Oh, yeah. Hey, did you see the news out of Riverside, speaking of the East Coast? You see the news this week with Riverside?
With the Triple 50s?
Yeah, the opener. It's going to be the Kaylee Honda Triple 50s to kick the season off with the Parts for Truckster. Isn't that cool?
I think it's cool. I didn't go to the site to see what it was all about, but I hope there's some inversion there somewhere, or a challenge for the guys at the front to go to the back.
Well, there is going to be a twist to it. I believe they're going to have to do some drawing in between those. When the stoppages come, I believe there's going to be a draw. The pole sitter or whoever's up front is going to be doing a draw to find out what gets inverted. It's going to be cool. You can guarantee Paul McLean and all those guys at Riverside celebrating 50 years this year at Riverside. They're going to put some real spin on things. This is going to be cool.
Yeah, well, that's going to, like, what they do at New Smyrna, right? They leave and go the first two nights, but then after that they pick a ball. This year we got two more nights of zero inversion, but then the last two nights, I think it was the top six, got inverted, right?
That's right. Yeah, it was.
But the racing at Riverside, the best races in the street stock class, the best races nights that we ever had was the nights that it was the Twin 50s. It was Twin 50s for 100 lap in street stocks, and it was inverted at the halfway point.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, though, Ken. When you look at, you're talking about inversion. And you know what? With the class of competitors that are in the Parts for Trucks Tour, if you allow those guys to roll down pit road and make adjustments twice throughout a race, that is as close to an inversion as you can get. Because when you look at...
Because everybody's working on their cars, everybody's going to know what they need.
Right.
Where what you got to have there, Joe, is it's not a normal halfway break where they get the wrench on the cars, is when you come out of the pits, the point you come out of the pits is the position that you line back up on track.
Right.
So if you're, like you say, if you're way off the mark, and you've had to take a whole bunch of wrenches, but you're running around in top five. But when you're coming out of pits, you're now in P15. Well, you stay at P15 rather than going back to P5.
I don't think that they'll be doing it that way, though.
Well, I'll tell you
what. If they do it that way, then it's live pit stops. Then I'm not making a change. Yeah. I'm leaving out first. I'm taking track position all day long, baby.
Well, here's what you got to do.
You need tires there, though.
I mean,
we're whipping on four tires for sure, but... But I'm not climbing underneath the car and making an adjustment, twisting some wrenches.
That means you got to come down pit road.
Live pit stops, though, I'm telling you what, pit stops is a hell of a game. You don't want to get into that deal.
Well,
no, but I really like the aversion. I like the underdog at least to have a chance because, like you say, there is some of those guys that they take the car back home and park it and they bitch and complain of why they're no further ahead the next week when they go to the track. But there is some of those guys out there that are, like you said, we've only got 20,000 for the season rather than 100,000, and they'll go home and they'll wrench on that thing all week to pick up a couple tenths.
All right, yeah, to pick up a couple tenths, they'll do.
But if those guys in one lap, when an inversion comes, can be put to the front and have the guys that have better equipment to come back around them, It makes an exciting night.
Oh, inversions always make an exciting night. Now I will stand behind you with that. I do like inversions. I'm definitely.
I always liked when they got away from it. I don't know how many years now, but they used to do the pole challenge. That the pole winner, whoever qualified on the pole,
right,
he had the chance to go to the back of the pack and get an extra 500 or $1,000 at the end of the night.
Yeah, we used to pay the pole sitter. If you chose to go to the rear, we'd give you, at the time, I think it was an extra $5 a car for every car you passed if you won the race. You had to win the race, though, and it was exciting. I'll tell you what, Ron Lipsky, a driver from up at Sauble Beach area, a staple from Walkerton, Ontario, Ron Lipsky would do that same gig at Sauble, at Flamborough, wherever they offered it. He would take that, I think he had a Ford Granada. He would go to the rear of the field, and I'll tell you what, I seen him more often than not truck all the way through the field and win that race.
The last driver that I think I can believe that I watched do it, that accepted it, and I think he did it, and he came back and won the race, was Wayne Smith.
Yeah, was it?
Yeah.
The Outlaw Oval.
That was cool. But I'm glad you were getting back to the rules and stuff. Last week, I was just ready to go through the radio at you. I believe, and I know last week you were getting in about we were talking about rules and with Kenny Wallace coming back and at the IWK 250 and with what happened and whatever.
Right.
I believe that if something is to be teched at the end of the race, that you can be disqualified, especially at these one at these big events. If something is that can disqualify you at the end of the race,
right,
that is teched or can be teched, should be teched prior to the race. It's the same as when that car rolls through pre-race inspection.
Right.
Like they roll through anyway.
Yep.
And because, all right, with what happened at the IWK, there was five cars that were nailed on it. The next week when they went to Halifax, they ended up doing it, or wherever it was they were at, they ended up checking it again. There was another seven cars that had the air bleed, and I'm not doing this just because
right.
King was caught.
Right.
But what I'm saying, what was caught wasn't a horsepower advantage on the track or a drivability advantage on the track.
It is a drivability factor, so I'm going to fill you in a little bit on that from the research that I did, because I wanted to know more.
It does.
But so the biggest thing on any racetrack, as the tires go, and what those guys are doing, and it's not a new thing, and that's why there was multiple people with this deal that were caught. Now, it was a big gray area. Was it illegal? It did not say that it was illegal. But the biggest thing though is that it is built for advantage and it is built for speed. So what it is is when you get down into the center of the corner, when your car gets down in RPM because you're slowing it down with the brake pedal, your idle speed, if you can adjust your idle to a different level that everybody else is at, you can actually carry more because you'll get more throttle response out of it in the center of the corner when you go back to the throttle. So is what they were doing worth a half a second? No, it's not.
No, it's only worth a little
bit. It's worth a little bit. But I tell you what, there is 15 things on every one of those cars that are worth a little bit. And when you add up 15 little bits, it becomes one big thing. And it is definitely an expense because there's a lot of testing that goes into perfecting it. Now, I don't believe that any of those teams spent a whole lot of time perfecting it. The thing that I believe is they were told by one of those carburetor manufacturers, which in this case, everybody that was DQ'd at the IWK, they had a pink carburetor. Not saying that it was a bad thing.
Or was it pink? We don't know.
Or it wasn't. But I do, yeah. And it's not a bad thing. The biggest thing that I'm saying is that, you know, this has been studied by these guys, and this works, and this is how it works. And they bolt it to their cars. So I don't call anybody that got DQ'd after the IWK 250 a cheater in any way, shape, or form. But I also do agree with the rule and how it played out. It
right.
said that it had to be stock, and the way that it laid out, it wasn't. So
do you agree with me that, like, all right, when you see them rolling through the tech shed, they have the templates to go up over the fenders and to go up over the hoods?
Yeah.
And if what I'm saying is, if something that can disqualify you, that is, can be teched at the end of a race to disqualify you.
Right.
It should be able to be teched to be able to put the car and say, all right, you're good for the track.
Well, and you know what?
You take all these guys that if they change ride heights when they had the ride heights rules and everything like that.
Yeah.
If they change something on the car during the race to get a better handability or drivability, and for whatever reason, don't get that change back out of the car before the end of the race is over.
Yeah.
And they get caught on a ride height, well, then they're disqualified.
Right.
I understand that. You did something to the car during the race, but this is probably not something that is adjusted during the race.
It's definitely not
happening at the beginning.
Yeah, it's not adjusted throughout the race or anything like that. You are correct in saying that. But what I will say is tech at the end of the race overrules anything that happened at the beginning. So the beginning is just to make sure that everybody's firing off with the same package. But there's a million things that you can check in pre-tech. You could climb under the car and look at the clutch. You could climb under the car and you know, you could pull a valve cover off. You could do a bunch of things in pre-tech. But it's what it comes down to is you don't have enough time for that. So you tack the top five, you rip them apart, and you go from there.
Because they check the tags are there. Okay, boys.
Yeah.
As far as we know, your tag isn't broke.
Yep, yeah, exactly.
It's always...
as long as it's the proper tag, and if you're in the top three or five at the end, well, they can take and they say, all right, you had that tag on there, but we're still going to tear you down and check you.
Yeah.
Right? And that's another whole story. But all I know is that I think that it's going to make the IWK more interesting this year because I think you're going to see that 13 car come up from the... the field again, wherever it's at.
Absolutely.
And they're going to be more determined.
I agree with you 1,000,000%. It's going to make for a great IWK 250. And I think, Kent, everybody, including the tour, the track, the everybody, learned something at last year's race. And I think it's better because of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it will be. And I just can't wait to see if what other names we're going to have coming in. Either from outside. I know Kenny's coming, and that's great. He's a great racer and everything else, but it'd be interesting to see if anybody else would take up this challenge, maybe in preparation, if on anything else, for the $75,000 to win. And that might be a reason why, Joe, why everybody's got the car ready so early, is because from, say, the end of June on,
right,
they're not going to be working on their weekly car. They're going to be working on that car for the $75,000 to win.
I agree.
They're not going to have no time.
Yeah, you're right, Kent. Incredible. It's going to be a great summer, buddy.
All right, boys. Talk to you.
You want to believe it. That's Kent out on the east coast of Canada, faithful caller to Race Time. We're going to hit a quick break. When we come back, we got Tim Ellis, veteran late model driver from the province of Ontario. He's going to join us live on the other side of the break.
Jamie Maudsley, you're listening to Race Time Radio. Keep tuned for all the latest in Ontario short track action.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Discover a place where the sun and the tunes are shining bright.
This is Jimmy Buffett, and whether I'm traveling by land, by sea, or by air, Radio Margaritaville is my soundtrack.
Immerse yourself in a mix of Jimmy's favorite island music, commercial-free rock, reggae, folk, and live concerts to transport you to an instant warm weather vacation.
It's Radio Margaritaville.
Channel 24 and on the Sirius XM app.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hear rare interviews and performances. USA. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home great, away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Alexa, play NASCAR Radio on Sirius XM.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio from Sirius XM.
Start your engines!
Gain access to NASCAR's biggest names.
Martin Truex Jr.
Kyle Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Hear live coverage of every single race.
Side-by-side for the win!
Wow. It's unfiltered 24-7 NASCAR.
Welcome to Victory Lane.
We've got breaking news. Let's go to the hotline.
This is Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90. Listen on the app or at home on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Taking you all the way to the track
and back.
It's Race Time Radio.
Sirius XM 167.
Now, here's Joe.
I'll tell you what's on my mind. It's butt cold out here, and I'm fresh out of beer.
And welcome back, everybody, to Race Time Radio. I still got Pepsi. How about you? What do you got, Junior? You got water going?
Yeah, no beer. No beer over here.
Yeah.
I want to throw this out there before we get to our next guest.
Okay.
Jim Utter sent out a big tweet, and this is definitely pretty cool. Stat comparison, and he's comparing the 2018 Spring Vegas race.
Right.
Of course, it was the only Vegas race last year. The 2018 Spring Vegas race to the 2019 Spring Vegas race today, obviously.
Yep.
We're recording on Sunday, if you couldn't have guessed that,
yeah,
if you're listening on PRN. But
right.
2018, there was 2,379 green flag passes throughout the field. From front to back, all the way throughout the race, there was 2,379 green flag passes.
Okay.
There was 9 green flag passes for the lead.
Yep.
2019, now, right. this now. Year.
Today.
3,345.
Oh, really?
Green flag passes.
Green
flag. 1,000 more green flag passes.
Wow.
1,000 more. Just under 1,000 more. 3,345 green flag versus 2,379. So just under 1,000.
Yeah.
47 green flag passes for the lead.
Good deal.
So 47-9.
To versus that's 9.
That's a big change.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that he said hashtag enough said,
yep.
That is cool. Now, I will say there was also a tweet, not a tweet, but a report from Steve O'Donnell saying that he felt that it was a massive step in the correct direction
right.
For today's package and how it all unfolded.
Right.
But he's not satisfied yet, and he feels that there's still more tweaks to be done and there's still more to be learned. So looking forward to seeing what will all come out of that. But that's a big stat. You know, 1,000 more passes throughout the race time multiple of six on how many lead changes there were. That's big.
Yeah, that is. It's huge. Love stats. We all love stats. And I put one out right at the beginning of the race. I wonder how many lap cars there were versus, last spring to this race. Was there more lap cars? Was there less lap cars?
There's only two
thinking
of us.
There was going to be.
There's only two of us. I don't have those stats.
No,
Dad.
I know.
Come on.
I know. We're going to look it up after
the race.
How am
I supposed to look that up?
You junior. Man. Let's get to the hotline and let's bring in somebody that always studies and knows his stuff.
He's got stats coming out the eyes.
This guy does. Let's welcome into the show Tim Ellis, driver, the number 2 late model since I was a younger guy. Timmy, how you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you, Joe?
Fantastic.
Just so you know, all the old guys have lots of stats. So that's just the way that it works.
Tim?
We've got stats and stories.
Stats and stories. Timmy, do you keep track of your wins? How many wins are you at? Do you know?
No, you know what? I haven't. I know track championships. I have 2 of those. But as you know, Joe, I ran more for the big races than I did for the championships, but I do have 2 championships at the beach.
I can tell you, you got 1,000,000 wins, too. Well, maybe not 1,000,000, but it would be damn close. You've done a lot of winning in those big races, too.
Yeah, fortunately, I've knocked off almost all the big Canadian races, like the Oktoberfest 100 and the Budweiser 100 that used to be in Barrie, a bunch of the 100 lappers at the beach. And so pretty much every big race, we've got a trophy in our shop here for and a couple championships.
Isn't that cool, Tim? You've been in this game a while. Don't know how many years, but you've been in it a long time. And the news that I seen a week ago, and I believe it was just after we got off the air, Sue said to me, "Hey, did you see this?" And she pulled it up on Facebook. I said, "No, what's going on?" She goes, "Tim Ellis and J.R. Fitzpatrick are going to be teammates." I said, "What? What is this?" And I said, "How come neither one of those guys told me so we could have had him on the air?" So that's what we're going to do tonight. We'll get you on here and we'll find out. So pretend it was a week ago. What the hell are you thinking? What is this?
Yeah, so, an opportunity arose. As you know, I had a limited late model and I have a pro late model. Limited late models are on their way out, I think. They're only one track that runs them now at Sunset. And we had a really good limited late model with the best of everything you could buy on it. Try to sell it. Nobody wants to buy it. So I saw that Josh Stoddy had a 2016 Brian McDonald hand fabricated chassis for sale. And as you know, Brian's one of the best car builders in North America. So Brian and Doug and I went together and we bought that chassis and we're putting all of our limited late model parts on it and making a pro late for the beach.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
That's really cool.
And
so
you got a good piece underneath you.
Yeah, the car will be really good. It's got a Leech 604 going in it. We knew the car chassis would be good. The motor was good. We just needed to put somebody in it to get it to the front. And, I've talked to JR over the years, so we tapped him on the shoulder.
That's really cool.
That's amazing.
Tim, looking at the neat part, and I think a lot of guys can take a page out of this book, if they have a limited late model sitting there, there's a lot of parts in a limited late model that cross over to a pro late model. Is that not correct?
Oh, yeah, almost everything. Like the quick change, we had to change a tube in it, but, you know, that's next to nothing. The rack and everything worked, the hubs, like a lot of people prefer the 5-on-5 versus the wide 5. Like Junior Hanley raced 5-on-5 for years because it's quicker. And anyway, so, you know, almost all of the parts were interchangeable and are bolted onto that prolate now, including the body.
Exactly. So when you look at the perimeter style of a limited late model of where they are, of course, they're a big spring car, but a straight rail chassis that is built for a prolate model, relatively easy to swap everything over. And that's definitely pretty cool, Tim, and hats off to you. So which car will you be in then? Obviously, you picked up a car towards, I guess it was last year or was it the year prior, you picked up a Chenoweth car.
Yeah, that's right. So at the, I ran it all last year in one race the year prior. So it's a 2016 McCall car. It's a great car. It too has the best on it. So I will race that at the beach. This is going to be my 35th, to answer your earlier comment, Joe, or to speak to your early comment, but my 35th and final year behind the wheel of a car. So I started at the beach, and I want to end at the beach. So I'm not going to go anywhere else but Sauble for the 6 races, the 4 Prolate model Sauble races and the 2 APC races. They're in the McCall car, and then JR will be there for the 4 races, the Sauble races in the Brian McDonald car.
Incredible. You're going to come to win this, aren't you?
Yeah, you know, that's the plan. I want to at least win one or two of those. I always thought I wanted to go out when I was still capable of winning, and I feel that I am, especially at the beach. You know, that's been my, by far and away, my home. And, you know, I can drive that track with my eyes closed.
I guarantee you could, Tim Ellis. I guarantee it.
Now, Tim, obviously, you know, you had a great, solid career going for a long period of time in late model racing here in Ontario. And then you actually kind of took a little bit of a hiatus for a little bit. And then I remember it like it was yesterday, but it was probably 6 years ago now, when you made the announcement that you were making the comeback to come back to Sauble Beach and you put a deal together with Brian and Race Limited late models. What has the transition been like from taking the hiatus back to now racing relatively full time over the past couple seasons? What was that transition like?
Yeah, you know what? Joe, it was actually pretty easy. So I tried to retire twice before in my career. One time it lasted a month, and then the next time it lasted a year and a half or two. As you guys know, Brian McDonald has been with me, or I with him, for, you know, a couple decades, and a lot of the races that I've won are, you know, I'll be honest, they were because of Brian. So Brian moved down south for a number of years, 15 or more, and I raced on my own up here, but it really just wasn't the same. So I decided to retire, and then guess what? Brian moved back, and he called me. He hadn't built any cars yet, and he said, "I want to build a new car." I said, "Oh, that's nice, and for who?" And he said, "For you."
Yeah.
So that pretty much pulled me out of retirement right there. Longtime friend Blair McDonald agreed to come out of retirement as well. He used to pit for Robbie Mack. And so a couple of us old guys said, "All right, let's go back at this with Brian McDonald as the crew chief." And we came back and we had good success. The car was fast. I won features. We won Dash for Cashes. We won heat races. And just sort of picked up where we left off, which was comforting to know.
Yeah, pretty amazing. I think back, Tim, to the days when I had the Speedway. Of course, you were out there. You rent the racetrack, and you start doing your testing, and there was me, you, your dad, and a couple other guys there helping you out. I'd watch you on the racetrack. You'd go out, lay down a bunch of laps. You'd come in, and I had my stopwatch just to see how Timmy was doing, and man, you had a bullet underneath you. You pull into your pit stall, and you got out of the car, ran up to the truck, and I said to your dad, where's Tim going? He's going to go get his phone. He wants to talk to Brian. And Brian was down in the U.S. working on, I don't know, Vessi's car or somebody's car in the Cup Series or Nationwide or whatever, and you had him on the horn talking to him, looking underneath the hood of the car, and you guys go all the way back.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good story, Joe. You're 100% right. I remember that very well. Brian did my shocks for me the whole time he went down south. He was a shock engineer, so we'd send shocks down and he'd do them and send them back. And So every change we made, I'd call Brian and get him on the phone, and just a huge reason why I did achieve any levels of success that I did were all the people, you know, my father and Doug Millen and Brian McDonald and all the people that have helped me over the years. And that's why I still have them all. They're all still with me. And that's why I thought, you know, this is probably as good a time as any to step back from driving and have one final year with all those people together. My best friend, George Drennan, that's been working on the car with me since we were 14 at Sauble. His boys are on the crew. And everybody's there. So for me, it was the perfect storm to go at this, you know, with everything we got one more time and then turn the wheel over to somebody younger.
Now, Tim, you mentioned Blair McDonald there. Is he part of the crew this year?
Yeah.
Come on now.
I kid you not.
All right.
He retired again, you know, and said, okay, even though I kept racing, he said, I'm done. Yeah. Well, guess what? Brian McDonald has that. He's one of the only guys that can influence. So he called Blair. I didn't call Blair. He called Blair and said, Blair, will you come and help us? We're going to have two cars at the beach. And Blair and his wife, Trudy, said, okay, let's do it.
No way.
As long as the car's not in my shop, right?
No, actually, he likes it. He doesn't mind it anymore. But the one car will be kept in Kitchener and one car will be kept up at Brian's place.
That's funny. Last year, we stood right before the APC race. There was a test day, and it was just I was helping Andrew Grizel out a little bit. There was somebody there with a super stock turning some laps. It was Chris Rugrock was turning some laps.
Oh, yeah.
And then Josh Stoddy and Brian McDonald and Dwayne and all those guys pulled in, and Blair pulled in after work. And he's like, no, I'm done. I'm done racing. You know, I'm going to take a retirement. I'm absolutely done. I'm just going to be a fan from here on out. And I said, all right, yeah, I bet that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I'm dead serious, man. He looked me square in the eye and lied to me. So Blair, what the hell, man?
Yeah.
I wish I would have bet you that you'd be back because I knew that he was going to be back. But that's definitely pretty cool, Tim. I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys can put together. And of course, there's a lot of data that can fly around from the APC champion to Tim Ellis and then vice versa. I think that you'll elevate his program, and I think that JR will elevate yours as well. So that's definitely a big combo pack rolling into 2019 at Sauble Speedway.
Yeah, this is going to be right off the hook.
Yeah, do you know what, Joe? One other thing. You know, you've said to me for years, Joe, where are the shampoo bottles?
That's right.
Well, guess what? They're going on the car.
They're going to go on the car.
Yeah. We're actually going to take the hood and we're going to put a picture of every race car that I've owned or driven over the years and do a collage on the hood of all the cars. And in the center of that collage will be those shampoo bottles. So hope you're right. I hope it brings good luck, Joe.
Oh, Tim, I guarantee it's going to. Man, you give me goosebumps, brother. Goosebumps. I can't wait. It's going to be awesome to see you on that racetrack. And 35 years, man. Doesn't time fly?
Makes me feel young.
Yeah, amazing. Tim, there's a NASCAR championship at the end of this rainbow as well. That would be kind of a special one to win, right?
Yeah, you know what? Like I mentioned earlier, I really wasn't much for championships, but one that says NASCAR on it would be pretty cool, I have to admit.
Yeah, and especially right at the end of your career, what will be an astonishing career. You know fans are going to be out in droves to see this, and for good cause. It's really going to be wild.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. You know, one of the things that I've been so fortunate to have over the years are a bunch of great supporters, especially at the beach. You know, I've been known to get booed when I go to Flamborough or other places. That's okay. I've always felt that if people know I'm there, that's all that matters. But at the beach, I've always been a fan favorite, and, you know, like for 35 years. So I'm really looking forward to meeting and talking to people. We're going to have some hats and T-shirts and kind of celebrate the 35 years. And that's probably the biggest thing for me is that I'm excited for is to talk to everybody about, you know, the career and that it's, you know, what it's meant to me over the years.
Well, it's meant a lot to you, but I can tell you what, Doug Millen, your dad, me, there's so many of us, it means a ton to all of us to watch you on that racetrack, and it's truly going to be amazing to see it. APC, how about what APC is doing as well, right? APC kicking in, If you run Prolate model at your home track, they're going to put more to it. They launched a program a month ago. They're even going to help the cause out. Just amazing to see what's happening with Prolate model this year.
Yeah, it really is. You have to give those guys so much credit. Because, you know, as you know, Joe, you had the premier series, in my opinion, in Canada or Ontario for years was the All-Star Series, of which, you know, I supported a number of years, and you ran, Joe. And I thought that was going to be pretty hard for APC to top that. But, you know, they came out and they got behind the Prolate class, and they put their time, their effort, their money, and they don't do it selfishly. They, you know, hard to believe that they promote home tracks as well as their touring series. They really do have the health of the sport and the spectator side of it front of mind, as opposed to making money or self-serving reasons. They're really a great group of people. I can't say enough.
Yeah, amazing. Big picture. That's what Luke Ramsey is about, those APC guys. They're big picture. And I'll tell you what, that big picture is always going to pay dividends. So cool. And, Tim, this is great news. You, J.R. Fitzpatrick, going up against everybody else that's going to be in this series, a mini-series at Sauble Speedway, your home track. I'll tell you what, it's going to make for a special 2019. Timmy, thanks so much for your time tonight. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe, and thanks, Joe Jr. I appreciate all the kind words.
You want to believe it. That's Tim Ellis from Waterloo, Ontario. At least I think he's Kitchener-Waterloo.
From somewhere down there.
Yeah, I think Kitchener. I got to say Waterloo. Yeah. But that's Tim Ellis, and trust me when I say this, it's going to be wild watching these guys on that track this year.
Definitely. Tim when he said that he is a fan favorite at the beach, he is. And he's a staple. When you roll in there, he's had the same pad since I think I was like 4 years old.
Yeah.
Parked in the same spot. The two cars always parked in the same spot. Anybody who walks in the gate, as soon as you turn to the left and look into the pit area, the first car that you're going to see is the number two. And that is Tim Ellis. And the guy is just a class act, a lot of fun to watch. He's not shy of putting the car where it shouldn't be.
Oh, no.
He's not shy about putting a donut on the door. And he's got another guy that's not shy of putting a donut on the door, and that's JR. So I think that is a massive partnership, and I'm looking forward to seeing what can happen.
Do you know what's going to be wild? Neither one, JR nor Tim, will ever lift. If those two guys, and there is a high probability that you're going to have those two guys running for the win in these races, neither one's going to lift. I'll tell you what, that is why people spend money to go watch races.
The fans are going to be the ones who win. Also, five-star or AR will be the ones that win in that deal.
Yeah, there's no lifting when it comes time for those two guys.
Not.
I can guarantee it. Final break of the night. Then I'm going to talk about something that caught my attention this week. I can't wait to do that as well. Stay with us. Junior and I will be back in just a couple of shakes.
Men, morning men.
Hi, I'm Evan Cohen, and I'm Mike Babchick. We were given 30 seconds to describe our show, Morning Men, on Mad Dog Sports Radio, so I'll ask you some questions, and you give me the answers. What do we do for fun?
You go to the diner with your family. Me, I drink and forget I have a family.
Biggest crush?
You, Tom Brady. Me, anyone in yoga pants.
What do we want to do more of?
You, talk about what happened the night before in the world of sports.
Me,
I would like to do more of my wife. I think we just ran out of time.
Morning Men, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern, Mad Dog Sports Radio, Sirius XM 82, and the Sirius XM app.
New to Sirius XM, it's Faction Talk.
Whoa, cut it out.
Lucky us, what a time to be alive.
Mornings with Jim Norton and Sam Roberts.
I get tweets every day about how terrible my co-host is, but I don't listen to him.
Absolutely, because I'm the one sending them.
That's Jim Norton and Sam Roberts.
Hot takes on hot topics.
That's right, no sloughing off on this radio show.
Live Monday through Friday from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern, only on Faction Talk, Sirius XM 103. Or listen on demand with the Sirius XM app.
Here's what you missed on NHL Game Day.
Scotty Bowman joins us. When you were coaching a team, was it important to kind of move a piece out, move a piece in, just to kind of keep it fresh, to bring in guys who hadn't won before?
I think winning a championship, it's very difficult to make changes. It'd be always good if you could add a piece or two without disturbing the chemistry of the team, which was not easy.
NHL Game Day on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. Sirius XM 91.
Race Time Radio is fueled
fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
More Short Track live, coast to coast, next.
Only on Racetime Radio.
What can I do for you?
My name is Elizabeth Cook. I have a show called Apron Strings over in Outlaw Country.
Okay.
I'm playing a lot of old outlaw country music, cool. A lot of new outlaw country music. Cool. We talk about all kinds of important things, like how to get gum out of the pillowcase.
Shoot, I don't know.
Where do Venus flytraps come from? Do you need a chakra cleanse?
A what?
This is your formal invitation to listen to me, Elizabeth Cook, 10 to 2 p.m. weekdays on Outlaw Country. It's Channel 60 and streaming on the new and improved Sirius XM app.
If you've got the need for speed,
they're racing door to door in turn four,
then you've come to the right place.
It's Race Time Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
There we go. We are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio, Sirius XM Channel 167. I'm Joe Chisholm, along with Junior.
Blair McDonald just texted me.
Did he?
He said, yeah, yep. I guess I'm a liar.
Yeah, yeah.
You are a liar.
Just for 1 year.
I couldn't even believe that Tim just announced that. I can't wait to stop in there and bust his chops.
Well,
a little bit.
I'll tell that's, you what, I am incredible. So
welcome
glad.
Back, though.
Yes.
Welcome back, and you know, that's I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah.
I wish you all the success in the world. It's going to be a good year, and definitely pretty cool. But it proves you can't get out of this sport once you get in it.
Yeah, I know. It gets in your blood. You know what's going to be kind of giggly? You're going to be pouting pretty hard when you're at a Pinty's race somewhere. And we're at the beach, and we got one of these races going on. Now, I think Blair and I will text you.
Yeah.
We'll text you, or maybe Tim.
He'll probably send a picture of a
cold
beer or something.
We'll shoot a little video. JR will fire you some more photos.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys will definitely be having more fun. Well, actually, I'll be having fun, too.
You'll be having
fun. As long as I'm at a racetrack, I don't care if it's a go-kart or a Pinty's car or a late model. I as long as I'm there.
Yeah.
As long as I'm spotting for one. That's the main thing. I like
you
doing
You got to be part of it.
I do.
Yeah.
I'm to the point now where I can't be a fan. If I go to a racetrack now, I ask everybody that's in the field,
yep,
do you need a spotter?
Yeah.
Do you need a crew guy? Can I help? Can I help rip that bumper off? Yeah. I mean, I just want to be a part of it.
Well, it's going to be a dynamite summer, I can guarantee you that. Something that took place this week that I would really like to talk about, there was some chatter, if you will, on Facebook. And just so I can maybe explain myself here to some people. I know not a lot of people would have seen this, but nevertheless, I want to talk about it for a minute because it sort of gets under my skin. What day was that, Junior? What day was that? Was that Tuesday?
Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday. Before I get to Tuesday and what took place on Tuesday, Sauble Speedway, a place that's near and dear to my heart, Course East owned Sauble Speedway for number of years, 14 years. I sold the track to Jason Tom, and Jay had it for, 8-9 years or so?
Yep.
And sold it to Paul Grizzell. Paul is a good friend of mine. He's the owner of Sauble Falls Tent and Trailer Park. You won't find anybody with a bigger heart, a guy that loves the sport more than Paul Grizzell. He actually bought that speedway, and he didn't want to see it go away. So Paul jumped in, didn't necessarily want to buy a speedway, but he did. And he's, making a go of it. He's making a go of it. There's challenges, a lot to learn, a lot to do. You got a lot of influences that will make a racetrack successful, or you got all kinds of things to contend with. And Paul and Andrew stopped by right around Christmas. Well, I think the juniors were on. And the four of us hung out, right, Junior?
Yep.
And we were discussing that night what was going to take place in 2019 and, what was coming down the line. And long story short, Paul wanted me to come work for him, wanted me to come to Sauble Speedway and give him a hand. So that's, in fact, what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to come to Sauble Speedway, and there now, actually. And, doing some marketing stuff. And going to be doing some of the management oversight and working and be part of the team at Sauble Speedway. And in discussions, Paul and I were talking about, you know, they need more cars, need some more stuff happening here. And I said to Paul, you know, and I said it the night we were all sitting together.
Yep.
I said, you know, NX. NX, great, the legend cars and the Bandoleros. I got a brand new respect for those cars. We don't see them here in Ontario a lot. As a matter of fact, you haven't seen a Bandolero in Ontario. There is legend cars that are part of a series here in the province, but you don't see them a lot. You may see them at a track if you're at that racetrack and they're running that night.
Yep.
But out east, they are prevalent. If you go to Scotia Speed World on a Friday night, the legend cars are on that card, or you'll see the League of Legends Tour, which is the Legends Tour, and the guys are either running Friday night at Scotia or they're on the tour, one or the other,
yep.
And you can catch them at a lot of different speedways out there. Or you go to Newfoundland, and I was race director there for the last 2 years, and we had Bandoleros and legend cars.
Yep.
Got a chance to see the program, how it operates, and I'll tell you what, it's the real deal. You can tech these cars. It's affordable racing. It's a good measure for guys to get into that, you know, maybe they're at the end of their career, like Tim Ellis.
Yeah.
And, you know, going to step away. And Tim May, you know, he's going to step away at the end of the year.
Yep.
Just like a guy like Rob McDonnell, for instance.
Yep.
Rob McDonnell was a big name and all-star. We've seen him back at the beach in a Le model. And then you don't see Rob McDonnell anymore. He's fallen out of the sport, sort of stepping away, if you will.
Yep.
A legend car works out real good. They're affordable, low maintenance. You can fix them if you wreck them. You got parts available, all that kind of good stuff. And I said to Paul that night, we were sitting here, I said, you know, the legend cars would be a really good thing. I think Joe Adams has got one. There's a couple of guys from up here that have got legend cars.
Yeah.
Why don't you take a look at starting that division? You know, we can take a look at it, contact Enix, and find out what the deal is. So that's, in fact, what we did. We contacted Enix and said, Sauble Speedway's interested in sanctioning or getting sanctioned to run legend cars. Not Bandoleros right off the bat, but legend cars. And then we're going to look at opening Bandoleros as well, because it's a cool program that no one up here has seen.
Yeah, it's a place where all the parts, you know, every part is manufactured and bought, and they're all the same. They're cookie cutters.
Sure, they are.
And they're all techable. They're all, you know, bolt-on parts, and you can get them from Inex and from U.S. Legend Cars. I remember that conversation very, very well. And obviously, you talked about the series that was here, and that is here in Ontario.
Yeah, yeah.
And they race and they travel from track to track.
Well, in fact, but, we had a race scheduled at Sauble Speedway on July the 13th,
yeah,
to race those legend cars.
Exactly.
So we were already going to have one race.
Yeah.
But I said, you know, why don't we take a look at, we'll get a hold of the sanctioning body and find out if we can put those on, and maybe we can grow that class up here. And, you know, if we start them here and we get a bunch of guys in, it's going to be good for the racing tour that is out there as well.
Which a tour is always different than a local home track.
Oh, sure it
is. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's a pro late model or if it's a damn shopping cart. It's different running across the province than it is running at a local home track.
Sure it is.
And really, when you look at legends in the United States, when you look at legends out east, really there's a home track and then there's a tour. And there's always a local home track that runs them.
Not very often will you find a driver in any division go out and purchase a new vehicle, a new race car, new whatever, and get involved and buy it to get into a tour right off the bat.
Yeah.
Normally, what you want to do is buy one, get your feet wet, find out what you're doing. And then after you've got, you know, your bearings about you, maybe, just maybe, you may want to go and try different racetracks. And the beautiful part about these INEX cars is if you've got one here and you decide that you want to, you're going to go on the holidays and you're going to go to Newfoundland, put your race car in the back because you can run that race when you get out there.
Exactly.
Your INEX sanctioned is one car, one rule that is good anywhere in North America. That's how cool this program is. So we went and we went after INEX for the sanctioning. We contacted INEX. They sent us through the paperwork. Paul went through, read all the paperwork, filled it all out, put the prescribed amount of money with it because it costs money to sanction. And when we looked at the dates, because you got to put your dates in there that you want to get sanctioned.
Yeah.
So we had a look, and Paul and I, right off the bat, said, what is the tour's dates? Because we definitely don't want to put a date over top of a tour date. So we had a look at the Ontario Legend schedule, and we went through every single date and went, okay, we're not going to race them on any one of these days.
Except the one that raced at your track.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
It's
going to be on there, right?
Yeah.
So that's the only date because they were coming. But other than that, we took a look, and I can tell you, I got a list of them right here. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Five races that we put down on the list to get sanctioned. Five dates. And all of a sudden, now fast forward to Tuesday night, all this went to INEX to be approved, and we're waiting to hear back from them. And come Tuesday night, I get a message. Someone from the Ontario Legends Tour isn't very happy with you. And I thought, well, what are they talking about? Go read this. So I went and I read this post, and I'll tell you what, the hair on the back of my neck stood up. This organizer of this Ontario Legends Tour went after a personal attack on me.
Yeah.
And said a lot of things that were, I'm telling you, not a lot of things, but absolutely everything that he said in there is 100% a lie. It's straight up, flat out wrong.
Yeah.
And he said we were targeting the tour. Well, I don't know what planet he's from,
yeah,
but the more legend cars that would be available to run would be able to run the tour.
Look at the APC series. The APC series is providing a more
program.
Payout, a program, a structured program to gain more cars to run Saturday night shows,
right,
and to help them pay for their season in APC.
That's right.
Like, that's like it's a normal thing.
And
so
when you get real good at Saturday night, you feel like you're ready, we want you to step into the APC series.
Yeah.
That's where your destiny should end up.
Yeah.
That's where you want to be.
Yeah.
But I was really, really put out by what I read because it was 100% false. The organizer, the guy that wrote it, is 100% wrong. And I'm just beside myself when I look at this. We are waiting to hear back from INEX to find out if, in fact, we are sanctioned for the dates that we put on the schedule.
Yeah.
And hopefully we are, because INEX stands to grow here in the province of Ontario. The legend cars would grow. Bandoleros would start up. There's a lot of positive things. And you know what? The racing community would win. It's back to that big picture I was talking about before. If you look at the big picture, it would be good for absolutely everybody.
Yeah.
And there was no intention on hurting anybody's tour. In fact, it's the exact opposite. We're doing it to grow racing, not only at Sauble Speedway, but you know what? At the end of the day, if it helps that tour too, well, good on everybody.
Oh, not now.
So,
I mean,
well,
I'm just kidding. You know what? And now I don't have any skin in this game at all.
No.
I don't have any, not even a little bit of skin in the game.
We will. You know what, Junior? We are at the end of the show.
All right.
We are. We got to go. I'm going to say we are going to update you next week on the show to let you know how we made out. And we would love to hear from you. We will have open phone lines at the beginning of next week for anybody's comments nationwide. So you have a good week, everybody. And we will be back with you next Sunday night right here on Racetime Radio. Have a good one, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.